He came all the way to Leeds to eat North Festival. Yeah, you come all the way from Norway.
Yeah.
Just to come to eat North.
Eat North, yeah.
You've been eating the wings.
Yeah.
What else did you have? Apparently they're Leeds based, those guys.
Apparently they're going to open up a restaurant in Leeds. Smack.
Add some sausage, lamb sausage.
That looks really good, those chips look amazing. The curry sauce.
Do they have like curry sauce or something?
Yeah, they look really good. Good beer.
Yeah.
It looks like that.
You've had tuna.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my god, look at that.
Right.
Oh my god, they actually
they look
amazing. Oh my god, that's out of this world. Try some, guys, if you want some.
We might have one without the bits.
What do they do? Like, batter them?
They just fry them. Like, it's just ordinary halloumi. I'm just watching it, yeah.
That was really good.
What is over there, then?
Hello, it's Paul from the Past Podcast. Welcome back to these Welcome to Leeds specials. I hope you're enjoying them so far. This episode is about Eat North, which is an event run by Leeds Indie Food. And I chat with Matt and Simon, the men behind Eat North and Leeds Indie Food. And the boys mentioned that it wasn't going to stop, it was going to carry on through. But due to the expansion at the North Brewery, they've had to pause until the new year. So I would suggest following Leeds Indie Food on Twitter, because he's always tweeting out. And he'll let you know when the event's coming back on again. Cheers.
So we're here with Matt, and Simon's not wanting to be on recording, but I'm going to introduce him anyway. But Simon, you've organised this meeting, so I have to say thank you to you as well. How did this come about then, gents? How did this start?
We run Leeds Indie Food already, which is their festival in May, where we have loads of independent food and drink events. Part of which is often street food. We do loads of street food stuff. My sort of background in food and drink is through street food. I sort of have run vans for people and cooked, and like we've put on events as Leeds Indie Food before, like at various scales. And we've talked about doing something regular outside of the 2 weeks where we run the festival properly in May for ages. And well, I don't know why we decided we would do it. I think we were just bored. Maybe we were bored. I don't know. Like when everything finishes in May, you're like, oh no, there's nothing to do now for another year. You best get really busy and like make a mess. Yeah, I mean, Leeds doesn't have a weekly street food event, and loads of other cities are doing a great job of it. So we're really good mates with a guy called Bailey and Jules, who run Grub in Manchester, which is an amazing like weekly event that started over the winter, like which is an insane thing to do because it's cold and like snowing and stuff. And Bailey started like getting some street food vans down into a brewery every week in Manchester, and there are like weekly stuff in Birmingham at Digbeth Dining Club, which is like a really established event now, and there's other cities are doing a great job of it. And in Leeds, we've got some really good like street food events already in Leeds. Like Belgrave Feast is amazing. It's been going for years, like really paved the way, putting on interesting trailers and doing interesting things. But we think it's time to go weekly and for there to be something that's regular and that people know is there every week, and they can come down with their family and they can get food, and it's a changing traders, and just to step it up a notch really.
So for people that aren't massively familiar with the event, essentially what we get is each week for a set period of time, we've got different street vendors come and take over the North Brew House in North Leeds. So people can come and try what the guys are serving behind the bar. And then they're not just Leeds street food retailers. You do encapsulate guys from Leeds and then guys from all around.
Yeah, so we are, our home is North Brew & Co. So that's the brewery arm of North Bar, who are sort of Leeds. People say they are the UK's first craft beer bar. They've been doing sort of that kind of stuff for a long time, importing Belgian beers and stuff like that. They have their 20th birthday this year. So they know what they're doing. And they're sort of North Bar in Leeds is like a real like Leeds icon. They have loads of, there's a few, I think they have six or seven now little bars around the place. Like my neighbourhood bar where I live is in Chapel Allen, and is a North Bar, for example. And this is their brewery. It's only been open a couple of years, I think. It actually launched during Leeds Indie Food a couple of years ago, like what they were brewing launched during Leeds Indie Food. So we accidentally, like a couple of years ago, started it all off, which was fun. But yeah, it's really cute. It's a nice brew tap, and it's kind of a bit outside of the city centre in North Leeds, further on from like Belgrave and Reliance and a few of the places, the kind of northern quarter, as they call it now. And we just take over the car park and make it. So we put loads of benches out. We've got some cool games and stuff, and it's like a really relaxed space. And we booked a lineup of street food traders. I think it's pretty much going, I don't know, I guess it's going forever now. It's doing well enough. I don't know why we would stop unless it, like, I don't know, we'll keep going. But yeah, so we have four or five traders each week, all different people. So some of them are like Leeds people that everyone knows, like Manager's Kitchen or someone like that, from who are really established in Leeds. Some of them are completely new. So we've had at least a few, sort of four or five people trading for their first time with us, which is cool. And it's quite a nice, relaxed kind of crowd to like get that, like, get yourself off the mark. And we bring in some people from all over the north and the UK, really. Like, we've the best traders from Manchester, the northeast, Southampton, Birmingham, and Sheffield and stuff, which is great.
Do you mean there's something special about Leeds that encourages these people to come here, you know, in terms of the food scene? And
yeah, I mean, we think there's something special about Leeds food scene in general, I think, in that we're quite a unique size city-wise. So Manchester is huge, and there's a lot going on. And there's some really great stuff going on, and there's some real dross going on. And it's difficult often, I think, for consumers who don't spend their whole life on Twitter, like following independent restaurants and bars and street food people, to work out exactly what's good and what's bad and what's, you know, to sift through it all. So there are really great street food events like Grub in Manchester, and there's some really shit ones. Whereas Leeds, I think, we are quite a small community. The restaurants and the bars and stuff know each other. We've got an amazing beer scene. There are like four or five really, really like world-class breweries. Everyone's churning out like their own stuff. Everyone gets along pretty well, which is kind of half a function of the festival that we run in May. Like, we run events with loads, everyone throughout all over the city, and it kind of allows everyone to like to be connected. We're right in the north of Leeds. You can walk from our brewery at North to Northern Monk, which is right in the south of Leeds, in what, like 20 minutes? Probably 25. It's a 20, I think they say it's a 20 minute city. So, you know, you can go around town. You can start at a brewery, you move on to three bars, and then have some food and then end up here, or the other way around. It's not.
I think what must be important about what you do as well is, obviously, I came to Leeds. I'm from Hertfordshire originally, moved to Leeds. And one of the first things that struck me is how many independents there are, and that must be quite key in, obviously, what you're doing with the Leeds Indie Food and with events
like
that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, I also, unsurprisingly from my accent, I'm not from Leeds. I grew up in Leicester, but I moved to Leeds just over 10 years ago now. When I moved to Leeds, it was pretty cookie cutter. Like, there wasn't that much going on. There was like a few really good places, like Reliance were up and going, and they had a good reputation, and they were like older places like Salvo's and stuff, which had been going for generations, and like places like Kendall's were like getting off the mark. But really, like, we didn't have this vibrant kind of independent scene, and that all came along in the last kind of 10 years or 8 years or so, and now we've got an incredible range of venues and community. It does feel like a real community. Like, there's no one really, you know, like, with a couple of exceptions, literally everyone gets on with each other really well, which is definitely not the case in some other cities. Like, really, from reports, like, people in Manchester are at each other's throats half the time, because it's just a fiercer market, and there's lots of big people with a lot of money, and there's lots of, like, you know, the rents in the Northern Quarter are incredibly expensive and all that kind of stuff. Whereas I think in Leeds, everyone's just a bit calmer.
It's more about collaboration, it seems.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you get things like, I did a podcast with the Ham and Friends.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's obviously, like, collaboration between three independent businesses. And obviously, again, coming back to what you do in Leeds Indie Food, it's about promoting that.
Yeah.
What interests me is when, let's take Eaton Off as an example, when you're saying, right, we're going to book for a day, how frantic is that? Or is it quite an easy process?
It can be. So we send the dates out. We will have done 12 by the end of this poster, which is, so we're on eight, I think, week eight at the minute. And after that, we'll keep going. But we send the dates out, and then everyone emails back and says what they can do. Then I have a very complicated like spreadsheet with ticks on as to what people can do. Then I have to like decide a lineup from that. So we have to make sure there's a good balance of, you know, you're not going to have three Thai traders or whatever like at the same time, because like, you've got to have a good range of food. And we always try and make sure there's a really good like veggie or vegan thing that's going on each week and stuff. So yeah, and then people are inevitably a bit disappointed. We can't fit everyone in for lots of reasons, mainly because like we need to, you know, we need the lineups to be as stocking as possible and have as much variety as possible. Got a bit chaotic this year because I sent the dates out just before I went to Glastonbury. And then at Glastonbury, I thought it was a good idea when I was really pissed to sort of like confirm people. So I did manage to catch all but one of the people that I confirmed while I was drunk, I think, and get it all down. And then one person on the last week, I had to like cancel someone else and be like, oh, I'm really sorry, because I found the email like a couple of weeks ago and I'd already promised the spot to like someone else when I was pissed. But apart from that, yeah, it's all right. We were oversubscribed by about 3-1 for every spot, so 3 or 4-1.
What are you looking for in the traders? What sort of things do you like to bring in?
It's a good question, that. If you speak to other people that run street food events and stuff as well, like if you've done that kind of stuff for a while, or if you've worked in the kind of industry for a while, there's definitely like a bit of a gut feeling where you can just understand when someone DMs you or sends you an email, like, whether or not they're going to be good, sort of. Because you can just tell by people's sort of attitude and whatever they sell. But what we look for generally is people to be polite and responsive on the emails and stuff, or on Twitter, which is always good, because being uncommunicative is like the worst way to get yourself any gigs. Because I need people to answer questions quickly. I need them to send me documents and stuff. Yeah. I need them, you know. So, like, it sounds a bit silly, but some people aren't very engaged with what they're doing. So, like, you don't get bookings offers, really, if you're not engaged with what you're doing and you're not, like, quite up to being, you know, on it about talking to us and, like, promoting the event and stuff like that. But generally, we like people who believe in what they're doing. To be honest, it's so good now. Like, the scene of street food traders in the north, which is kind of when people move between Manchester and Liverpool and Sheffield and like Newcastle and stuff. There's a clip there in like Magic Rock and Huddersfield, and there's a new one in Derby that's just started. It's quite like a fluid kind of thing. Like, people do gigs all over, really. You have to. It is the way that the street food stuff has developed, I think. So the first time I started cooking street food stuff is probably 2013, 14 or something, which is quite a while ago now, really, in street food terms, where everything moves incredibly quickly. And at that time, there weren't that many people around, and you did everything from huge festivals to like tiny one-off gigs outside a pub. And now it does feel a bit like it's kind of split off into there are people who just do huge festivals and do a really good job of that, and their product is consistent and probably a bit cheaper in terms of costs and all that kind of stuff, a bit less labour intensive. And then there are also people who do more of the kind of circuit of stuff that we do or that Grub do in Manchester, like small 4, 5, 6 trader events where you can take a bit more time over the food. The food's maybe, I don't mean the higher quality, but maybe just a bit more involved or a bit more like complicated, or there's a bit more going on. And what we have now, which is incredibly different to what it used to be like when we were first booking out street food gigs and various things, you would get like 6 hot dog traders, 3 burger people and maybe 1 Thai. Like, that would be what you had to choose from. But now, genuinely, I have struggled. We've got Smack on today, who do like Polish sausage, which is amazing. I don't know if we count them as a hot dog person, because I don't think they come in buns. Or maybe they do come in buns. I don't know. I'll find out in a bit. But, like, you struggle to get a hot dog trader. We've got 1 burger trader on this whole 6 weeks, I think. Or maybe none. Yeah, none. So, like, it's amazing.
It's street food, but no, you know.
And you have, like, vegan Latin American tacos, and they were really good. Yeah, and then, so, like, today we've got Tix Thai, which is fairly, like, as you'd expect, Thai stuff, like Pad Thai, but it's amazing, and Tix's an amazing chef and stuff. Dukkha, who do, like, Middle Eastern kind of veggie and vegan food. They do, like, halloumi fries and, like, amazing, like, beetroot falafel and stuff. Then we've got Smack, who are like Polish, so they do like really authentic Polish sausage and pierogi. And then some guys called Oh My Glaze, who are doing like barbecue-y, saucy kind of wraps and stuff and chicken wings. And that's almost like not even quite as diverse as it even usually is.
I'll tell you what was quite interesting for me is like a really big meat eater. So you do like a veg north.
Yeah, we do, again.
But then a couple of weeks ago, it wasn't a veg north, but you had a couple of veggie-only traders. And I think you'd had a problem in that one meat pulled out on last minute. But then it was like, I really don't care, because the quality of the veggie-only stuff was incredible.
So every 6 weeks at the minute, I think we're going to change, maybe go down to every 4 because it's so popular, we do a veg north, which is only veggie and vegan traders. And we put like a poll on Twitter to ask whether people ate meat or whether they were vegetarian or whether they were vegan or whether they were like tried to be vegetarian or whatever the word is for that. But on the thing that we put on Twitter, it was like 50% of the people that were coming to the event were meat eaters, which is really good. And we spoke to lots of people that we knew came. Although I think that was the source of our one negative review that we've had on Facebook, which was a woman that said, music was too loud, beer was too fruity, don't like veggie food. And we wanted to sort of be like, you did come to an event called Veg North. Maybe that was your own fault.
Yeah.
But yeah, like people just thought it was amazing. And there was such great like vegetarian stuff. The stuff we had on was the stuff that I love to eat as a meat eater or as someone who, you know, who isn't a vegetarian. We had like poutine, so like cheese and chips and cheese curds and stuff. We had like amazing pizzas and stuff like that. And it was all with vegan mozzarella and like vegan salami and stuff. And it was like amazing food that wasn't vegetarian. It wasn't like quinoa and falafel that you get palmed off with a lot of the time. But yeah, we're pretty proud of that one, I think. And it was our busiest event. To this day, it was our busiest event.
We are in a brew house, so the taps behind the bar are North Bar draft, and it's brewed on site. How have those been going down?
It's fun. It's just like a bit of a change of pace, really. People come down after work at like 6 and just stay, which is really nice. Like they just settle in for the evening, which is quite cool. I think I'm proud of our event. I think it's great. I think it is unusually relaxed for a place in Leeds to come and have a drink and sit down. And I don't think I've ever had to speak to a single customer about doing anything antisocial. We've never had any problems with anything, really. Everyone's like generally lovely.
It is that community feeling, I think, that you know, everybody's in on it together. And what's fun as well, for me, I think this is the fourth time we've been up here, is your little outside will change quite a bit, so like the
scene, the outside changes because we never remember what we did last week. Like, it does change every week, but only kind of by accident. Yeah, so we put some of the benches out and we're like, oh shit,
I think that's quite fun because it just encourages people to interact. And like, say you've got the music on. And the other thing which I liked that you did, I think it was 2 weeks ago when I came, was you had Roops in for takeaway. So it's like a bread, people to buy bread. Is that something that you see happening again in the future?
Yeah, well, I think we're definitely getting Roops back, because he did pretty well in the end. He baked a lot of bread as well.
He really did.
Yeah, he really baked a lot of bread. And he looked like Thunder a bit for like the first half of the day, because funnily enough, no one wants to buy bread when they immediately arrive at an event. But he sort of like cheered up in the end when everyone wanted a loaf on the way home. And actually in the end, I think he went home with one loaf in the end.
That's amazing.
Pretty good. But yeah, I think he's going to be back for the next Veg North, I think. Yeah, we're keen to try some bits and bobs like that. We've talked to George and Joseph, who you've had on the podcast, I think, and they might come down and do a bit of cheese
once
his new shops have been running, and he's like,
yeah, that would be amazing.
Calm down a bit, for example. Like, yeah, we're keen to just have some little bits and bobs like that, because it's not, like, we don't charge those people either, just because it's like, just a little like extra, really.
I guess with your Leeds Indie Food head on as well, it must be really pleasing for you that some of the guys that you're working with for that can then come and set up here and show maybe a slightly different audience.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's nice to like just get a bit more out of the kind of event and stuff. And we, because we have a really nice crowd, and we're reaching a lot of people that we don't reach as Leeds Indie Food as part of this. So Leeds Indie Food is maybe a bit of a younger crowd. It's an older crowd than I expected here, in a way. There's a lot of families and stuff. But yeah, it's a really nice crowd. Like, it's really mixed age range. Loads of families come down and stay for ages. I mean, I do with my kids as well, which is, once you've had kids, you really appreciate the ability to stay in one place and no one to bother you, and like be able to just drink beers and like buy food in a nice setting where like no one's like bumping into you.
Especially on a day like today when the sun's out.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? Like, go down to a bar in town or something, and you might have a nice meal or whatever, or like you might sit around like outside, but it's just not as comfortable. It's not as easy. There's much more pressure on you.
Can I say as well, I don't know if this is something you thought about. It seems to me, you know, sometimes when you go to food and drink festivals, the prices from the street vendors will immediately rocket up. It seems to me here that everything's been very, very reasonable, exactly what I would expect.
Yeah.
Is that something that you are conscious of, or encourage the traders?
It's not something that we impose on the traders, but I think it comes out of not booking traders I know are going to charge too much. And generally, like I was sort of saying earlier about, like, there feels like there's a bit of a split between traders who do lots of big festivals and traders that do the smaller stuff. Generally, the traders that do the smaller stuff, well, not the smaller stuff, but the more, like, I don't know, boutique-y or whatever, they tend to, like, have a good eye on that. Because as good as your stuff is, you've got to still sell it. And the people coming to our event are not trapped in a music festival field with nowhere else to go and £10 to spend on their tea. Like, people can just go to Sainsbury's if they want to, or just go home. Have some meat on toast.
Yeah, it's not far.
Yeah, exactly. Or go to any of the other bars and restaurants in Leeds. So I think people understand that, like, you can't really rip people off. We do occasionally come across stuff where people are a bit put out, but someone raised it on Twitter last week and said, we need to be careful with prices because something had been £10. But when we sort of looked at what he'd got, it was like a mixed kebab from Middle Feast. When we looked it up, really, it turns out that that was the most expensive thing on the menu that day from any trader, and it was sort of a mixed kebab that was like lamb and chicken and halloumi and was huge, and it was worth £10. But so that's like the difference. Is if someone comes along and they're doing like lobsters, they're not going to be £6.
Yeah,
that would be nice, and I would happily have them on charging £12 for like a lobster, or, you know, whatever,
a
like
lobster roll,
if it's worth
that,
it. But the thing is, it's never going to be a full spread of people charging £7, £8, £9, £10 for a main.
And I think that's the beauty of it, like you said earlier. It's that you get that, and it's not just in cuisine, it's a wide mix of prices.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think one of the things an event like this should and does do is, like we mentioned earlier, it's challenge people to try something new.
Yeah.
That's the whole point about something like this. It's a quite a unique concept in that it's a food festival, but without being a food festival.
Yeah, we aim for a 1.5 dishes per person sale, right, kind of thing. So we hope that people buy one thing each and then they buy another main between them to share, which is kind of the way to do it, really. And often we see people buying, like, six.
Simon's got his hands up.
Simon every week. So people will like come with like four or five of their mates and they'll try everything, yeah, which is really, really great. Or occasionally there'll be one killer dish that's on that day and you'll see like a table of six people that all be eating that exactly identical thing, which is fine as well because sometimes there's just like an it dish that like everyone just wants to have, which is great.
What else would you like to do, you know, with this space or with this event? Is there any other things that's ticking away in the back of your head?
I mean, it's sort of growing steadily, which is great. If we can add an extra trader, extra couple of traders further down the line, that's great if there's enough people to support that. But we are very focused on it working out for everyone. And there are some street food events that charge quite a lot as a pitch fee and some that don't charge hardly anything at all. We want traders to be able to come back and earn a living correctly. When we were talking about how expensive it can be sometimes or whether it's not expensive here, often people complain about street food being quite expensive compared to X thing that they've had in a restaurant. I have never seen a street food trader at our level doing our kind of events who probably even has a pension or like a particularly nice car. None of them are earning more than the people that are complaining a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Like no one is making loads of money off this. What they are doing is having a great time selling and cooking food and being outside and not being chained to a desk and meeting people and developing what they cook and like working with, like, because you know, everyone's nice working. I love working festivals. Like, for 3 days in your week, you work incredibly hard and you feel at the end of it like you've done a proper weekend's work. No one's making a shitload of money. People choose to do this because it's the lifestyle that they like, and I think that's perfectly valid. But yeah, like, people charge what they charge, really. I think we would like to be able to make our event part of the scene that sustains those traders, and that's another thing that is like a Leeds Indie Food thing, really. Like, we want new traders to come along and be able to trade. We're not going to be demanding thousands of pounds off them in advance before they come and trade with us.
Is there any other highlights for you, anyone that people should search out?
Yeah, so Smack are amazing, and they do like Polish like sausage and pierogi and stuff, really like proper like home cooking. Manjit's always been around. Yeah, it's quite strong at the minute. There's a lot of like local traders, like Tix, who we have on today. I think Tix from York, actually, but our local scene is really great. There are people that we've been trading with for a while. The other week we had Golden Balls on, who are amazing as well, who do like arancini and stuff in there. Yeah, like, they've just bought a brilliant, brilliant battered old caravan and like painted it gold, which is kind of a distinctive look. It looks good when it's got all made up and stuff. And they've been trading for a couple of years.
Chief Street a little while ago that I went to, and that was really cool.
Yeah, we've got some really good pizza people in it now, actually. But we don't often manage to book them because they all just do weddings all the time, because that's what you want at a wedding. So we have, in Leeds now, we have Pizza Fella, the pizza guy, who are both really good. And Pizza Fella now has a restaurant. Where is it? Upper Brigger?
Yeah, in town.
Piccolo. And Pizza Loco as well, who's got that kind of train that he cooks pizza right off. We had him on for the last Fetch North and he was amazing. But yeah, the pizza guys are way oversubscribed. But all three of those are really outstanding.
I had a Pizza Fella the other day for the first time, actually.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
It's really good. Really good. But I mean, pizza used to be like quite shoddy a lot of the time because you could get away with it not being very good. But yeah, with some stonking stuff at the minute.
What's the best way then for people to find out more about what you guys are doing?
All of our communication runs through Twitter. Simon's laughing.
So am I.
Yeah, I am.
I love following 25 tweets a day.
A lot of tweets. About 6 months ago, I deleted my own personal Twitter out of like rage at the world. And now you can tell.
You just get channels.
It's just me. It's good. You can interact with us on Twitter. We have all social media channels that you'd expect. So we tweet as Leeds Indie Food. We are on Instagram as Leeds Indie Food as well, which is always a nice place to go. And Facebook is the place for this event stuff. The page is Eat North Leeds, and that's where the Facebook events are, where all the stuff goes on, where the menus will be, all of the like Q&A about like what time we finish, what time we start, where the parking and all that kind of stuff. That's on Facebook. But yeah, it's all pretty simple. Or you could just come to the brewery.
And I guess most North bars as well will probably
God, if you ask them, it's going to be like rabbit in the headlights, because they're just worst, like used to like just serving hundreds of beers. there's posters and stuff all over the place.
I saw stuff in like the Reliance the other day,
posters.
They'll be all around the good spots in town.
Yeah, word of mouth. You just hear about us on the street. I think a lot of people come to this who don't know what Leeds Indie Food is, which I don't mean that like, oh my god, they don't know what Leeds Indie Food is.
That's
good, because it's a different cross-section of Leeds and stuff.
And hopefully we're going to do something with the podcast on Leeds Indie Food next year. We'd really love to work together. Maybe cover some events.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that will be April, May.
God knows what the dates are, Simon probably knows. Something like 11th to something.
Simon's shaking.
It's the 2 weeks before the bank holiday plus an extra 3 days. 10th to the 28th, I think.
And again, if you're hearing about this for the first time, just follow the guys on Twitter or Facebook, because if you've not heard of Leeds Indie Food Festival, it's like the best thing that ever happens in Leeds every year. I love that stuff.
It's good. We have a lot of fun. I mean, me and Simon just like eat together every night, which is a bit weird. That's all right.
It's like a little couple.
Yeah.
I've noticed
we didn't have that many dinners together this year.
He's gutted.
Two or three,
which wasn't very many, was it?
There's a lot of events to go to.
I've started going out for dinners with Fran from North Park now. She's my new, not my wife, dining partner now. I've got kids.
To be careful.
Yeah, so Leeds Indie Food is just an excuse for me and Fogel to have like six dinners a week out.
A day.
A day, yeah.
Six dinners
and
a day.
An incredible amount of food. And Eat North really is just an excuse for me to have like six sorts of street food in every Saturday and drink loads of beer. I've got to pay my tab today, it's like 100 quid.
Oh, God. And Simon, you've been off mic the whole time. You've been a little bit shy. From your point of view, what are your favourite things about Leeds scene at the minute? What do you think people should be getting involved with?
So, interesting question. Other than Eat North, generally work with people that I love and all the projects. Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you? If you work in PR, you do a lot of corporate stuff, or you could do what you love. I've been lucky to work with like loads of cool people like Bundabust, you know, launching Belgrave. Yeah. Started working with Friends of Ham, North Star Coffee, you know, worked with Northern Monk. Hopefully,
and all these companies,
and all these
like
people
Leeds based,
yeah,
which
all Leeds
again
based, yeah.
Comes back to that, how burst into the scenes, especially for food and drink, which for these three blokes with beer bellies in the room, it's like we're
perfect,
all happy
with
the amount of food that's going on and good beer. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And you know, George and Joseph Cheese Shop, that's been because they've moved to town. I live in town, so having them amazing.
And that space is out of this world as well. I love the Ham and Friends.
Air conditioned cheese room, who'd have thought it in Leeds?
Love it.
Like a few years ago, I think for me, like Lanes were one of the turning points for me. Like 5 years ago, they've just celebrated 5 years. Is that right?
And yeah, I think so.
Earlier
they
this
had
year,
the, was it the King Street social thing that pop up?
Yeah.
I saw that they were there this weekend.
There's so many like pop up restaurants and experiences, and I just think it's great. Like at the moment, good vibe, and like for me, this is a bit different to Leeds Indie Food. Like, a good friend of mine has been to every single one. He wouldn't normally come to like Leeds Indie Food stuff, but he feels so relaxed coming to Eat North. Like Matt said earlier, there's, you know, you can just relax, and it's
well,
a relaxing space.
Like I say, I've got friends up here, one from Norway and one from Hertfordshire today, and obviously they kind of went on the website and I showed them a couple of things to do in Leeds, and this was kind of the first thing that they both said, yeah, we'd really like to come to, because it is so relaxed.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I say, the value for money is exceptional, and it's just a good way to spend a Saturday afternoon with your friends and family. The best thing for people to do, if you're listening on the Leeds Bid or Welcome to Leeds website through the podcast section or through the food pages, or if you hear us from the past or the past Twitter, look these guys up on Facebook, look these guys up on Twitter. We'll be posting out when this goes live about all things Eat North, and obviously, like I say, we'll be working together with Leeds Indie Food. So guys, thank you so much for doing this first special with Welcome to Leeds. Thank you so much for your time, gents.
Thank you.
Cheers.
The Past Podcast is edited and mixed by Adam Linder from Bespoken Podcasting. Craig Fields from Ambient Light provides technical support, with thanks to Ruby Chow for booking support.